Thank you for the privilege of being here with you today, one with them, transforming nations, one heart, one prayer at a time. Let me introduce you to some of your fellow family members.
Somewhere far away, a prayer is being said. In that quiet place, a heart is being led. Led to mention me by name to him who bore my guilt and shame. I've been remembered by someone far away. Someone far away is standing in my place and asking that the Lord of love would smother me with grace, that I'd be deaf to Satan's lies, that I'd run the race and claim my prize. I've been remembered by someone. Knowledge that I do not stand alone. We are truly connected, not by post or fax or phone. With a humble heart and bended knee, they ask the Lord to carry me through battles I dare not face alone. Someone
one with God, one with them, transforming nations. Some of the greatest servants of the Lord are those who live among regions of persecution, where God is growing the kingdom of God at an exponential rate. They may be a persecuted church, but they're not a defeated church. Indeed, in Christ, they are victorious. This morning, as we gather together in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, passage that is found on page 990 if you're looking at your pew Bible this morning. It's the prayer of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, stating, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one." Mei Li, a Chinese youth, was 14 when she met an itinerant evangelist. He shared the word of God with her, and she became a follower of Christ. And after a few words of encouragement, he handed her a Bible and encouraged her to pray and to study it. And he left. About a year later, he came back to the village and he met with Mei Li. And she was able to share with him that because of the love of God, her life was changed. She was able to share her faith with family and soon with members in the village. And her love of God was so contagious that she was actually not able to contain herself and began to share her faith with others in other villages. She shares that in that year, God had blessed and she had seen over 1,400 people come to faith in Christ. While the evangelist, knowing that she'd never attended any formal Bible classes, asked her kind of the simple question, "How did you do that?" Well, she simply replied to him, "I began to pray in the morning and fellowshiped with God. I then prayerfully studied the Word of God, and asked for Him to reveal the truth found within its pages. And then I asked Him what to do, and I did it." That's fairly simple truth, isn't it? To see God at work in our lives by simply being people of prayer, study of the Word of God, and then asking God what to do, and then just do it. Perhaps we need a Nike moment. Just do it. And so God's word is spreading rapidly throughout the world. She is a true example of how God transformed nations. One heart, one prayer at a time. "Pray for us," Paul said, "that the word of God would speed ahead and be honored." In the midst of a broken world and confused, dwell God's people, a shining light that reflects the peace and hope of God. Commissioned of God, they're to bring good news to all nations. And yet we find that these ambassadors are often facing persecution because they share the name of the Lord Jesus. The Pew Research Institute reports that, and I quote, "Nearly 73% of the world's population lives in an area where their religious liberties are restricted. And in fact, 600 million people on this planet today experience the severest form of persecution, most of them Christians. The definition of that persecution includes physical mayhem, beatings, rapes, killings, and prolonged detention without cause, all for simply exercising the universal right to believe and worship as one sees fit. And it's getting worse, not better. And yet in the midst of that, God's kingdom is being extended. The Apostle Paul says in that well-known verse to Timothy, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted." 2 Timothy 3:12, "The least that we can do this morning is the most that we can do is to pray for them." And that's what this Sunday is dedicated. It's to the cause of praying for the persecuted. The International Prayer is mobilizing tens of thousands of individuals and churches around the world to intercede on behalf of our Christian family, living out their faith on the front line where it costs the most. And we have that privilege today. And Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, asks of us, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of God may speed ahead and be honored as it happened among you. You'll see in your bulletin outline today that prayer is a biblical mandate, or we see it is the pattern of God requested of us to accomplish. Notice in that first point, it says that we are told to pray for those persecuted and imprisoned for their faith. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3, it says, remember those in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. There are not two bodies today. There's not the persecuted church and the free church. We are but one body. Colossians 1 and 9 goes on to say, and so from that day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. And remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And this one, praying without ceasing, admonishes us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Your next point in your bulletin will read, we are told to pray for those who persecute and curse you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, Matthew admonishes in chapter 5, verse 44. And in Luke 6, 28, we read, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Prayer is constantly requested. Whenever I visit persecuted believers anywhere in the world, the first thing they ask of me is, please pray for us. The reciprocal of that is that they are also praying for us and gives us great hope. These dear fellow believers understand the power of prayer. They utterly depend on this life-giving fellowship with God to accomplish the mission set before them. Their request is not for their personal comfort. It's not for selfish indulgence. It is rather a request that echoes Paul's request that they would effectively be more used by God. Your outline says, persecuted believers recognize that prayer, fellowship with God, is the source for all their needs. Is it our source this morning? The core strength a persecuted believer is winning thousands to the Lord is their prayer life. Further in your outline today, we read that persecuted believers recognize that prayer brings their will and purposes in line with God's plan for their lives. In fact, the word of God indeed is spreading rapidly in places like China, in Nepal, in Vietnam, in Nigeria, and North Korea. Question is this practice of prayer, this fellowship with God, is it our experience? Is it our deep desire today? I confess to you that even though I know many of the needs of our brothers and sisters and challenged by them, that I have yet to learn the depth of that prolonged relationship and prayer time with God. And yet in my heart, I continue to grow knowing that for the source of my spiritual life, it is meeting with God, fellowshipping with Him. The Word of God is spreading rapidly in places where it's the most difficult, and yet it's done without mass media. It's done without institutionalized support. It's done without the ability to have public rallies. It spreads rapidly because the followers of Christ are fully committed to allowing Him to do the work in and through their lives. One heart, one prayer at a time, transforming a nation. We too, if we are utterly dependent and waiting on God, can see lives changed. One heart, one prayer at a time. We recognize today that they follow Him in spirit and truth, regardless of the cost. Those who study church growth share with us that the greatest growth is found within the areas where persecution is the greatest. And Jason Mandrick, author of Operation World, shares with us that, in fact, in his intensive research, that the fastest growing churches are actually found in the top five countries listed on the world persecution list that comes out by Open Doors. And there's over 50 of them. And if you'd like to have a copy, you can grab this at the table in the foyer following the service. But Jason goes on to say that in those most difficult regions, he, after his intensive study, has fully recognized that the growth of the body of Christ is the greatest, where the challenged is the greatest. And let me share with you today, it's not the persecution that presents church growth. It is because in the midst of it, and in spite of it, the faithful servants of God have determined to wait upon the Lord, and there to be renewed in their strength, and to mount up and to be used by Him. Their utter dependence on God is the saints of God, not persecution, that grows the church. Sharing Jesus, letting Him live in our lives. We see that next in our outline, that prayer transforms us to the heart of God. Transformed to the heart of God. Consequently, we are transformed by being consumers of God's benefits for our personal gains, to be distributors of God's benefit for the sake of others. It's the giving of God through us that allows the world to be changed, one heart, one prayer at a time. And we see as our third point in our bulletin outline today that prayer is for the benefit of those who persecute. God didn't call us just to pray for one another, but He knew that the answer to peace and hope, the destruction of despair, is that we would pray for those who persecute us. Paul says that we may be delivered from evil and from wicked and evil men. He goes on to say, prayer brings deliverance from unreasonable and evil men. Over 100 million Christians today living out their lives need deliverance from evil. Whether it's in concentration camps in North Korea, whether it's torture chambers in many other regions of the world, whether it's from abusive family situations, kidnappings, or death, Christians experience all of these. And so our call today, and for you to believe, is that prayer makes a difference in the lives of these brothers and sisters. Let me tell you about Pastor Manuel, pastor in Colombia who sensed the call of God to go into mountainous regions. And so he, as he began to share in the mountains, the rebels came to him and they said, Pastor Manuel, stop preaching the gospel. Stop bringing the word of God into this mountain. But Pastor Manuel was committed to the call of God upon his life to share the good news, regardless of the cost. And so this day, as he's making his way through, he's accosted by a band of guerrillas. And they said, Manuel, we told you to stop coming or we're going to kill you. And so today, you're finished. Pastor Manuel's response was, I'm in the hands of God. He's the one who numbers the days of my life. Do as you will with me. What an attitude. So the commander of this guerrilla group told his lieutenant, shoot Manuel. And so he took out his pistol and he went to shoot Manuel and nothing happened. He'd shoot the gun in the air and it would go off and he'd point it back at Manuel. Nothing would happen. And so this irate commander told one of his other men, stab him to death. And so he went to stab him and the result of that was that the knife actually broke off in his hand. You know, that morning before Manuel left, a group of people had gathered around him and prayed that God's will would be accomplished in his life and that he would be protected. And so in accordance to God's perfect will that day, instead of Manuel dying, these guerrillas laid down their weapons and became followers of Christ Jesus. And now they are men called of God to go even deeper into the violent mountains of Colombia, bringing the good news. Jesus saves. Prayer does deliver us from evil men. And so let us believe today, whatever challenges that we may be facing, that God goes before us, He gathers around us, and our lives are done in accordance to His perfect will. You'll see next in our bulletin this morning that Jesus instructs us to pray for our enemy and pray for those who persecute you in Matthew 5:44. To see real change in our world, we must see that prayer is done on behalf of those who persecute, for those who are the violent offenders. Jesus goes on to instruct us to love our enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. This, in the face of horrendous persecution this morning, is something that is carried out and enables our brothers and sisters to care for Jesus' instructions to be lived out in their lives. In many cases, it transforms the persecutors into friends, to those that hate them into love, and to those who despitefully use them to actually becoming defenders of their faith. Prayer works. It really does. Let me share with you a living example of how this works out in the lives of believers. In traveling to South America, I met a sister. I call her Sister Marie. I've changed her name for security purposes. But it's a true story, one that touches my heart, but demonstrates to us. Pray for them that persecute you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Well, the knock came at the door, and it was the third time in as many weeks. And so they opened the door, there was an angry mob of men that were there, and they said, "Pastor, we're tired of your preaching. We have told you, stop preaching the word of God in our community. And in fact, if you preach the word of God again, it will be your last." Quite a challenge. But through the week, they began to pray with family and other members of the church. And the pastor believed with all of his heart that God had commissioned him to continue to share the love of God. And so in the afternoon following the Sunday service, suddenly the door of their home is kicked open, and these angry men come charging into the house, and they pull the pastor out into the yard. "We told you to stop. We told you stop." And suddenly there was a whisk through the air, and a machete decapitated the pastor. And if that wasn't enough, this angry mob pulled his two sons out of the house and said, "You are going to play soccer or football with your father's head. And if you don't, we will kill you now as we did your dad." And so they threw his head at their feet, and they were forced to play this gruesome game of soccer or football. Challenging. In fact, we might ask ourselves this morning, is this something that would cause us to be defeated? Gruesome? Yes. Life-altering? Yes. Potentially life-destroying? Yes. And I don't tell you this story this morning to gross you out. I tell you the story because of the obedience of the servants of God. But despite this horrendous deed, the boys was gathered back into their home by a heartbroken mom. She called the boys into prayer, and there together they began to pray and wait upon God. They cried out to God, and in their pain, God visited them in a dynamic and special way. Their cry soon turned from one of abject despair to intercession on behalf of their murderers. God's love was poured out in such a way that hatred turned into love, inaction into action, sorrow into peace, and ultimately an empowerment to fulfill Christ's words, love your enemy, do good to them that despitefully use you. And with that love in her heart, it was not long before this utterly broken pastor's wife was soon ministering to the wives of the very men who had murdered her husband. And as a result of that ministry, they became followers of Christ. And she has a ministry today in that community where she helps women to do very practical things, but most of all, she helps them become women of God. Pray for them that persecute you and despitefully use you. Bless them. You know, these two boys have become fine young men of God, and in fact, sense a call of God upon their life. Despite the pain of those, the memory and the challenges, they too have become committed to loving and caring for those that persecute. What a story. This morning, brothers and sisters, whatever challenge you might be facing, it may not be this horrendous, but it may feel that way. Please find that place with God. He alone is able to take it and to change you and to alter you and to do what you think is the impossible, to put love where there was hatred, peace where there was none. God is able in your life and my life to do that today. Prayer for the family of God worldwide is not an option. I believe today it's a mandate. It is the call of God for us to do. Paul in this passage continues and says, but God is faithful. And today I proclaim that God is faithful. The parts of our family who face the most severe persecution have long learned for me to live as Christ, the hope of glory. Their utter dependence on the Lord is that they see that the battle is the Lord's and that they that wage into this battle must do so in the strength of God. God is faithful in the Middle East, where Arab Spring has now become Arab Winter. There are whole new challenges facing the body of Christ in the Middle East. For example, in Syria, nearly half of the body of Christ have been driven out of their homes, displaced into internal displacement camps. And yet, are they full of despair? No, God is faithful. And they are, in the midst of all of this violence, seeing tremendous growth where thousands are coming to the Lord. We recognize this morning that in Iran, where there's unprecedented persecution taking place, the challenges that they face, yet they stay surrendered to a faithful God. God's word is spreading rapidly through God's direct intervention. They are realizing this church growth, and they say, God is faithful. In Nigeria, where more than 1,000 believers have been killed over the last few months, churches, businesses, Christian schools, seminaries, and homes have been burnt to the ground. And yet, are they in despair? No, they cry out and can be heard to say, God is faithful. And in North Korea, believers are entering into a brutal winter season where they will be underfed and won't be properly clothed to face the environment that they will be found in those work camps. And yet you can hear their hearts cry, God is faithful. I could go on with a list of believers in over 50 nations today that are crying out from their heart, God is faithful. But my question to you this morning is, what are you crying out? What is your heart cry? If one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. If one part of the body rejoices, we all rejoice. And so I believe that God's heart reaches out to the lost. He cares for the saints. But what about our responsibility? He ministers his love through you to your community, to our nation, and to the world. God's love spoken through Wilmington Church this morning says, God is faithful. But what shall we do about this clarion call to us today? I believe that God has called us to respond. Continue to be informed. Find out information. We have a free book on the table out in the foyer for you, God Smuggler. It sort of tells you a little bit about the history of Open Doors, but more than that, it tells you about God at work. And God is at work in individuals today, and through prayer, changing nations. I'm asking you to continue to be committed to prayer. I thank you this morning for the 14 days of prayer with one with them that you have carried out in this body of Christ this morning. And on behalf of thousands of believers around the world, I promise you that their heart cry is, thank you. Thank you for making a difference. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for being one with us. I ask us today to stand with these brothers and sisters living out their faith on the front line. I ask you this morning, will you decide that I will be faithful in praying for them? I will be obedient to do it because of God's word and because of our love for they that are being encouraged and finding God faithful. This morning, God's call is to pray. One with them, transforming nations, one heart, one prayer at a time. I believe that some in this room today, in this house of God, may actually be sensing the very call of God that despite the hardships, despite the challenges that are faced in regions around the world, that God is calling you to go among them and to share out of God's blessing and skills and calling in your life to come alongside and to comfort, to encourage, and to equip them to do the work of the ministry. I ask you this morning, would you stand with me? Would we be obedient to God today? I ask that you'd simply turn to someone beside you and pray for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted. Now, I know that for some that may be not so comfortable this morning, and we understand that. Could you possibly then just read 2 Thessalonians chapter, I lost it, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, 2 Thessalonians 3. And so we ask this morning that you would just simply read the passage and let that be your prayer on behalf of persecuted believers. And with that, pray, you may be dismissed. God bless you.